Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Dalet. We're holding on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Last line, first word on the last line. Who Arus Varusato? Dato the Kamei with Yosef. So it was this Arus, for Arus means that they already given Kiddushin, but it was before the Chuppah, and she got pregnant. So they come to Rav Yosef, and she says, look, he got me pregnant. And she says, it's true. Ruo Marim, Ina. So now, as opposed to the other cases where we had the pregnancy, we didn't know what caused the pregnancy, and over there we had the locus from Gamliel, with Rabbi Yeshua. Over here, Rabbi Yosef says, look, I mean, this case seems pretty cut and dry. I mean, my nefesh, what's the problem? Chora doha kamoda. I mean, he's admitting that he got her pregnant, so why wouldn't we believe him? The od om Rabbi Yudam Shmuel of Krav Gamliel, not to mention we passed by Krav Gamliel anyway. So, fact is that we would always have said that she would be okay. Ask him like Rav Gamliel anyway. Amalei Abaye, and what are you saying? That Rabbi Gamliel would have said it's okay here. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Didn't Shmuel tell Rav Yehuda Shinana? Sharbi, halachic Rav Gamliel, but atla tavid uvda adikar of chair mitzvah. Halacha may be like Rav Gamliel, but don't do lemaisa like Rav Gamliel unless you've got Rav Chairman. And over here, you don't have Rav Chair, because everyone else in the world who would have gotten her pregnant would have possible. The only one that is kosher for her is her own fiancé. In this case, her own, it's really more than her fiancé, her own Oris, who had given her Kiddushin. So if he hadn't been made, I mean, so yeah, what are you telling me as if it's like two separate reasons? It's not two separate reasons at all. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef says to him, back up. Can you explain what you just said? I should understand that you're speaking contradictions. What is that supposed to mean? That you're saying, on the one hand, halacha, but atlo tavid ufti. You're telling me that's the halacha, but don't follow the halacha. What is that supposed to mean? I mean, we certainly know that there was no nafkamina in Rav Gamliel himself between the case where it was Shabbat. I mean, thoroughly. So you're telling me, well, we pass him like Rav Gamliel in both cases, whether it's Rav Cherbetzel or not, but don't do the halach. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Elo, I mean, there must be that the only way to understand this, Ma'ivach L'meimah. Now, what basically was telling him is, look, the truth is, the halach is like Rav Gamliel, across the board. V'di'avad. So, Shailah L'chatchila. So then, and let's say if you want now, Cohen is asking, can I get married to this woman? So over there, person shouldn't be matir a kohen to marry her unless it was rov kasherim. But over here, we're not talking about kohanim. Talking about basically the woman to her orus, right? And possibly the child of the woman. That's already an issue which we'll discuss in a moment. So over here, this is exactly that case. This is a case of bidyavad. Now, it doesn't say this is a case of bidyavad. It says it's like a case of bidyavad, which is very strange. I mean, it's pretty much bidyavad if they're already married, right? So therefore, Rashi understands the Maisa to mean like this, that what we're talking about is the question of the child. Since she got pregnant, if Lamaisa, the way most understand Rashi, if Lamaisa is going to say that the child is a lechatchila, because right now she doesn't have to marry a kohen. So Kohen's coming to ask, can I marry this child? Right? We're going to say lechatchila, no. The problem is that since that reflects on her relationship with her husband, so now he is going to draw conclusions from that and say, well, Besdin says that the daughter is possible. So then that means I should be choshish on her heter for me. Right? So if that's the case, it's like a kiddi, it's like a bidyavad. But when it comes to the question of her directly, I mean, obviously, we're not discussing that. Of course, that's the ultimate bidyavad. She's already married. We're not going to pass over for her husband. But that bats, and we have really two separate issues over here. Romi le abaya le rom. So now, all along, we've been assuming that we've got a major machlokus between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel always says she's Ma'amenes. We ended up saying that he says she's Ma'amenes, even where we had a lot of different svaras. We saw she's Ma'amenes in the case where she's Tainis Bar. We had cases where there was a migul, cases where there wasn't a migul, like the case of Mukas Eitz. Cases where there was a chazaka, cases where there's no chazaka, where we accepted that the child is kosher. We saw that Rabbi Yeshua seems to say across the board, Lovi Pion, no fine. I don't care if she's got a migo, she doesn't have a migo, die. Whatever the situation is, even in cases where possibly, since we show that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef is wrong, when he was saying that it's a dafke nivellet, even in case which species medaber, in apotropos la'rayas, two people together, it's just too unlikely that they didn't sleep together, and so on and so forth. Very mock. Asks Abaye at the Rava, you've been presenting Rabbi Yoshua very one-dimensional. Because Umi Amar Rabbi Yoshua ain't an emenis, telling me that Rabbi Yoshua says all of these cases, that she's never an emenis for Aminu. How about this case, in which Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yudim and Betera together were made in Yavne, about Almanat Isa, she Cheralakuna. So where you have an Almana who is an Isa, now the Pashtas of Isa is a word that is used very often just for suffering. Because it's a mixture. So a mixture means we don't know exactly how to look at it. However, as Tosis points out, Isa is usually used where you have a situation of a large group of things, a family. So we call, so we talk about Eretz Yisrael, it's Isa, it's a Babel. And we talk about an area in which we've got a lot of mixture. When we talk about an individual, we don't use the word Isa for a suffix. It's not a synonym for suffix. Rashi understands that it's a synonym for multiple things. So you can use the word Isa where you've got a lot of problems that are all mixed together, so to speak, like a dough. And it's not easy to tease them apart like a dough. And that, therefore, you have to know what it is the case is talking about. Now, let us begin just with the first level of the suffix of this Almanat Isa. And then we'll see that there are further sefikas that are attached. First level of the suffix over here is that this young Kohen, who unfortunately died young, leaving an Alman, was born to a woman who had been married to a Kohen. He threw her a get. This get was suffix korov lo, suffix korov lo. So she was a suffix mugureshet. And then, just to make sure that she's free of him, he goes and dies. So now the question is she an almana or is she a gerusha? It's not clear. Now she, now, goes ahead, and she's got this kid. We don't know whether this kid was born from a gerusha, from him. Let's assume right now it's from
another thing.
No, could even be from him. And then there's a question of whether she was a gerusha or not. Whatever the case, we'll see later on, we'll get into the details. So now the question is whether she goes ahead. She now, let's take it simple. She goes, marries another guy, and he's definitely a child from another guy. Her first level keeps it very simple. So he's a child now from a Kohen who may have married a Grusha, in which case he's a Cholah, or he may have married an Almana, because we don't know what she was. And now, the question is, he now leaves an Almana himself. Did he passel that Almana with his Bia or not? Because he was a Suffolk Cholah himself. So comes along now Rabbi Yudim and Beseira, together with Rabbi Yoshua, and they say that this woman, the Almanat Isa, herself is Cher Lakuna. She's just an Almanat. She wasn't considered to be Mitchalelet because of his being. So why is it that Rabbi Yoshua is the one that's Mekel in that case? I'd like to know, since in all the other cases, he's Machmir or Marley. So he said to him, it should be Rav actually. Rabbi says to Abaye, what's your problem? There's no comparison of the cases. Because basically, what this woman is saying when she got married to this Kohen is that she knows that she is Kshera. But that's because an Isha Nis'et, Bodeket V'Nis'et. When she is going to go now and marry this kid, she wants to make sure that she is not going to be now Nifsela from him. So therefore, she goes to find out about the original gerushin of his mother.
The Haiti case.
Huh?
This is the Haiti Rabbi Yoshua case?
Yeah, in that case. The reason that Rabbi Yoshua is happy to accept that she is claiming that she's Kshera is because since she's marrying, she wants to marry kosher, basically. So she wants to find out whether she was an Almana, which is Kshera Lekohen, or whether she's a Grusha, she's a Suri Lekohen.
How did she find out the Korob Lo?
She found somebody. She must have asked. She must have been Bodekes. That's what we'll assume. So if she goes, because otherwise she's going to be leading basically a life of Isser if she goes ahead now and she marries a Kohen. So if that's the case, what are you going to say? Rabbi Yoshua accepts her, fine, but what about the other cases where always the situation was that she was being Mizana? So you're going to tell me, Isha Mizana, Bodeket or Mizana? I mean, basically, she figures, look, this is really a one-time event. It's different if I'm getting married. I mean, people, when they get married, they want to get married kosher. So when she goes ahead now and marries the Kohen, so she wants to make sure that she, indeed, is allowed to marry the Kohen. So she must have found out that there was no gerushin and she's just an amana and that she's okay. But when somebody's being mizana, they figure, okay, so one time in my life I'll do something wrong with so terrible. You know, it's not like I'm living in sin. Many people will do this. It's okay. When you get married, you want a marriage to be good, and everything in your whole life is going to be defined by this marriage. Mashenkin, a one-night stand is so important. It doesn't make an afkaminiter that much. And so therefore, says Tzadis Rabbi Yeshua, why would she be bodek? I mean, not to mention the fact that a mizana koyin Rambam is not even an iser. So why would she be bodek? Start, okay, I don't know who got me pregnant. You want to know? He's a great guy. The best. What's left to me? Omar Rabbah says, Rabbah, that's a half an answer, gentlemen. Because you're giving me a half of his story. You're telling me you have a problem with understanding why Rabbi Yeshua says that the issue there is different. Why is Rabbi Yeshua the only problem? You're telling me that Rabbi Yeshua is a kasha. And how about Rabbi Gamliel's own opinion? Over here throughout the Mishnayos, we had Rabbi Gamliel coming along and saying that she is Nemes, okay? What was Rabbi Gamliel's reaction to the Eidus of Rabbi Yehoshua and to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? Rabbi Gamliel said, and here's the end of the story that they didn't tell you, well, Katoni Seifa, or Marlon, Rabbi Gamliel, okay, look, Kibanu Eidutechem, this is what you say, I accept it. The only problem is there's nothing to do about it, okay? So you may be right, but you're wrong. Because Manasseh, Shere Gazar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shalola Oshiv Beidinaka. We have a standing order, basically, by Rabbi Yochanan, that we don't make now takonas when it comes to being matir people to kayani. If it's bihikar adin, that this is the way that we pask it and so on, fine. But I mean, if we're talking about now creating a precedent, kayanim are not interested in hearing about your precedents. They have their own rules, and there's no point in our instituting this. I mean, understand, if this is a standard case, according to Rabbi Gamliel, that fits into the Nem Menes, there's nothing to do with establishing a precedent. This is Dalmach, like all the other cases that Rabbi Gamliel says. What's the big deal? You should say, well, of course, Nem Menes. Rabbi Yehoshua agrees it's Nem Menes. I'm going to agree that it's a standard case of Nem Menes. And you can't possibly address the halach, Rabbi Yehoshua, without explaining to me what happened to Rabbi Gamliel. What are you just telling me what Rabbi Yehoshua holds? Obviously, we need to re-examine the case because we're missing some information here. If we don't understand Rabbi Gamliel, there's no point in trying to explain Rabbi Yehoshua. So now I'm going to explain to you what's happening over here. Ela Amar Rabba. The case over here is much more complex than you let on. The case over here is Amanat Issa. It's not just one suffix over here. There's clearly multiple levels of suffix. And our Tosfos learns the multiple levels of suffix that we're talking about is that this Kohen, who we remember had been born to a mother who was a Suffolk Migureshet and Suffolk Amon and so on, has actually become Nitma in a family of hundreds of different Kohanim with different Brahmin. Nobody remembers exactly who's who. It's a big family. There was somebody that had once been married to someone who was a Suffolk Migureshet, Suffolk, but nobody remembers exactly what the details were. So that means that we have a further Suffolk. We really have a Sveik-Sveika. We don't know who's who. Or Rashi learns, the point was, that really he had been born, this child, Suffolk Kalam, had been born within 3 months of the original event. So therefore we don't know, I mean not 3 months, sorry, 7 months. I mean, so we don't know whether, they didn't wait 3 months, requisite 3 months. So in other words, we don't know whether he was a child of the first Kohen, in which case, so there was no problem, it was before the Gerushin, or whether he was a child of the second guy. So even if he was a child of the second guy, maybe a kosher child. So we basically don't understand what the case was. He dies within 3 months, she goes and gets another, married to somebody else. Okay, they're coming. There are different ways, that's a simple way of learning it. So therefore, we have multiple sveikas. And therefore, let's take a look again at the shitas. Forget about this business, about she knows and she's both dead. That's really, we've got sveikas over, there's no way to know and bodekas. The way to understand it is like this. Rabbi Gamliel is obviously no longer dealing from the position that he was dealing with, because all of the other cases were cases where she said Bari. The whole machlokas was always based on the question of Bari and Shema. So over here, she's tining Bari, okay, but in this case, she's not tining Bari, right? She herself is tining Shema. So she doesn't know. I mean, we have a suffix. There's no way of establishing absolutely whether it was Korov Law, or who it is, and so on. So in this case, you can't ask the Kasha of Gamliel. All the other cases, she knew exactly what she was saying. They were all Bore cases. Over here, she has herself no idea. So, Hashem. The Rabbi Yoshua, the Rabbi Yoshua Nami Lo Kasha. Now there's no problem if you think about all the other cases where Rabbi Yoshua said Lomi Pia Anu Chayim. They were all cases where there was a single Sufek. Over here, there's multiple Sufekas. Therefore, what we have to recognize is that as a general principle, to Rabbi Gamliel, the Rabbi Gamliel Olim Le Bori, Rabbi Gamliel believes so much in the power of a Ta'anat Bori, connected to Ta'anat Shema, that even in a single Sufek, you would rely on that Bori. And therefore, he was Mach. On the other hand, he so much is mezalzel in the nature of a Shema that he is machmer even in a sfeik a nami puzzle. And this puzzle could be because of the chumra v'yichus. We saw that. We saw that before. We've used that svara before. So when it comes to a sfeik-sfeika, so he wants to be machmer. He, just like Rabbi Yoshua is machmer in yonim v'yichus, sometimes he's machmer in yonim v'yichus. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshua holds that the serious problem of a single suffix is strong enough that even though we have a Bari Vashema, even a Bari would also be possible. However, he's Maker when it comes to Sveik Sveika, that even where you have a Tainav Shema, he would also be Makshir. Now, obviously, this is what the Svaras are behind this. This is one of the most, it's known to be, not the most complex Sugyan Chas Amanas, he's certainly one of them. It involves immense, immense research into the nature of Sveik Sveika, into the nature of a Tainav Bari, into how this interrelates with the multiple chazakas of the people that are involved, the chazaka of the original mother and the chazaka now of the woman who marries the kohen, which obviously we're not talking about his daughter, we're talking about his wife, the question whether he was mechaleler and so on. Extremely complex. However, on the surface, we can simply treat it like this, whatever the svaras are. He's explaining why it's no contradiction. Obviously, the cases are different. You can see yourself already possibilities of why one would be more machmer on a sveik sveik and one would be more machmer on a shema. Fine. We'll take it for our dafyomi purposes as being very simple and we'll keep a simplistic approach. So we have no real problem between the shitas. So far what we've seen is that Rabbi Yoshua is machmer in all cases where we have a single suffix, not to believe a woman who's tiny, even a tiny bari, despite the fact that she has a miktsas libu. Remember that Tosis' shot was yesterday that Aliba the Ravasi, even if we hold of Rabbi Yoshua and he ignores the migu, however, if she had a migu to say that I wasn't nivelet at all, that was the question that we had over here in the Machlokas. How do we understand the Mishnah about midaberet? Ravasi, who said nivelet, held that if it was only Nistor, Rabbi Yoshua would have been Maida. The reason he would have been Maida is because she always had a migu of saying, I wasn't nivelet at all. And that is better than the migu of saying Mukaseif, because it wouldn't make any nafkamina. So that's how Tosus was Machalik. Again, that was dependent on the Machlokas earlier on how to understand the Mishnah Medaberet. But in any event, certainly we know that Rabbi Yoshua, when there's only a migu of a better taina that wouldn't give her more kayak to din, he did not hold that we would combine a Mori with such a migu. He held that it would be strong enough even to override her chazaka, and we would never be maimed with a single sofik. However, if you have two sveikas, such as the case with Amanas Isa, and over there we are definitely dealing with the Teskis Kachris that we begin with this now Almana, so in that case, he's relying on the Chazaka. That part isn't clear how the Bori relates to the sveika relates to the Chazaka. But in any event, he's Makshir. Rav Gamliel, on the other hand, we saw always accepts the Taina of Anisha if there's no reason for us to have to say otherwise. He doesn't even hold of the svaras of Enapotropos La'arayas. Even a Divrei HaMakshir, it's possible a Divrei HaMakshir, Bob Makshir Bepita, that too is a possibility, that he would be Matri, even a daughter. And if you hold that she's Nemenes, then she's Nemenes, even in a Mokum or Rov Tzulim, that we saw earlier also. So we have all of the possible issues within three pages that are all interrelated in the Ta'anot of Din. Sufek, Sveik Sveika, Rov, Chazaka, and also Bori Vashem. And they are all presented over here as one vast Isa to allow us to mush them all together and to see how they interrelate with each other. And so you can imagine that this is a couple of pages that takes people a few months to get through with in order to do any type of even semi-serious job. It's a tough daf to do on daf yomi level, but nonetheless, Gemara has its simple meaning too, and I think it's pretty straightforward. Don Rabban, Ezoi Almanat Isa. Now, this braita seems to violate all of the things we were talking about a moment ago. Where do we say that they were made that an almanat isa is kshera. Okay, this is Rashi's girsa. Tosis girsa is ezehu isa, not describing the case of almanat isa that was above. But let's start just the way we have the girsa here. What would be the case of almanat isa? Koshe inba lo mishum mamzerut, v'lo mishum netinut, v'lo mishum avdei melachim. Where the suffix that was involved was, this is what it seems to be saying, was a suffix in terms of halalut, and he goes and marries now this woman, and he's a suffix halal. So over there they were made that type of suffix is okay. She's chair. However, if it would have involved a question of the guy being a mamzer, or being a Nesim, which was one of the seven Amamim, who pretended to be something else. It's a Machlokas. Sorry, we saw earlier Machlokas. If that's an Isser that was a Gezerah that was put on them at the time, or whether it's actually based on the Isser Chasus with the Shiva Amamim, the Uraisa. Here in the Sugya, the Sugya speaks about it as if it's the Uraisa. And it doesn't have a Shaila of Avdei Melachim. Shaila of Avdei Melachim was because there were many avodim of Shlomo HaMelech, that the Gemara says elsewhere, who used their position to subject Jewish women to them and claimed that they could do what they want and so on. They were really possible because they remained avodim despite the fact that they were given very powerful positions. And it's not only from the same thinking, not only from the time of Shlomo, we have Wurdus as well, in exactly the same situation. So Wurdus being an eved of the Beis Hashmonai, ended up as a Melech. And use this position. And therefore, if you have sfeikus like that, where there would really be a pagam of avdus in the family, that we wouldn't rely on almanat isa. That's what it seems to be saying. And we'll see, it doesn't mean anything of the sort. But let's pretend that that's what it means. Can we wait till we get to Babadasu? We've got enough. It's your tourist guy element that's bringing this up. Omar Rebbe Meir, Shamati, what I was mekabel, was that kol she'inba echad mikol elu mesin lekuhun. That if it doesn't have any of the above listed problems, then she get married to the kuhun, which of course is simply repeating what it is that the Tanakhama said. It's not adding a darn thing. That's what the Tanakhama said. What is an almanat isa? As long as it's not these problems of mamzerut and netinut and avdei melachim, then it's okay. Says Rebbe Meir, yes, I heard it's okay. What's that supposed to mean? The Gemara will answer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer mishum Rabbi Meir. That's not what Rabbi Meir said. And also Rabbi Shimon ben Asi also said. That's not what Rabbi Meir said. Hey, Zoe Amanatisa, where do we say Amanatisa is kshera? Kosher nitva ba safik halal. It's kosher where there's a halal that's involved. We seem to be revolving around the same issue again and again. And then he makes it worse by saying, Makirim Yisrael mamzerim shebeneihem. Look, we may know who the mamzerim are, but ein makirim chalalim shebeneihem. We don't know who the chalalim are, and therefore we should be more makbid on the chalal, is what it seems to be saying. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to try to make sense out of this, because it certainly doesn't make sense as it's being read. Omar Mar, Ezoi almanat isa. You start off by saying, what is an almanat isa? Ko she'in ba lo mishum mamzerut, ba lo mishum netinut, ba lo mishum avdei melachim. I mean, I assume that what you're saying is that as opposed to the case of Cholal. Now, the problem is, these, I don't know, but there's more Chomeris or whatever the issue is, but it's different than the case of Cholal. If there would be a Cholal, then we would be okay with that. Now, what's the difference? Maishno, I mean, Hanach B'Yaraisa, what, these are Yisra D'Yaraisa, Cholal is also B'Yaraisa, what possible is wife B'Yaraisa? All of these women that are nivalot to any of these cases we had from the Bat Kohen Ki Tiyela, the Izar, and so on, right? So we learned from there, any woman who's nivalot l'posolah, if you remember, we had those two, the two diyukim, so we understood that the Izar means Zar La in terms of the marriage, and the Izar to Yisrael, so it had a double meaning. So that means any of the above will pass. And the Chalal will also pass, that's his Beferish. He's going to be the Chalal, his wife and his child. So I don't understand. That's the first thing I don't understand. Okay, the next thing I don't understand is the next line. Vesu. Then you go along and you say, Omer Rebbe Meir, Shamati, Ko She'in Ba'achad Mikol Eilu Meisin Lekuna. That's exactly what the Tanakhama said. Tanakhama. What's the argument? Okay, next line. I don't understand the next line either. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Rebbe Meir. V'cheno Ya Reb Shimon ben Manasseh Omer Kedvarav. Ezoi Amanat Isa, Ko She'nit Ma Ba, Safek Chalal. So you're telling me that when it comes to the Safek Halal, that's kosher. And the Amanat Yisrael we're talking about over here is the Amanat Yisrael that they were made, that she is kosher, correct? So, and then you give a reason that says that we should passel her. You say, well, because Ramzerim we know, but we don't know the Cholol. You just said Arbitration, no, Cholol is kosher. And then you explain why the Cholol is kosher. I can't make heads or tails of this Raisa. In any way. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, look. This Braisa is not coming to define the suffix that we were talking about earlier. This Braisa is trying to say like this, that I'm going to learn this the way Rashi learns as the Ritva understands Rashi. It's a very, very straightforward shot. It's not like Tosfos' shot, but it's easy, clear, and makes a great deal of sense. Om Rabbi Yochanan, what we're talking about over here is a person who, when he's called a mamzer, he is soveach. He bitterly argues the point and says, I am not a mamzer and I don't want to be called a mamzer. But if you call him a halal, he's shote. Same guy. And he does not protest against being called a halal. And that's the case that is at stake over here, that is between the shittas. That's what he can be now. So the Tanakama Savar Kol psu, the korolei v'shatik pasu. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you call a guy by the name of a psu, and he does not complain about that psu, does not protest that psu. Now again, the way that the Ritva understands Rashi is that, but he will protest against another name of psu that you call him. So, but one name of psu he doesn't protest. So the Tanakama is saying that that is considered to be pasu. Vok tomer Tanakama. A zoi almanat isa, when we're talking about a case where an almana is married to somebody with a suffix, it can't have any shtuk at all associated with it. In other words, if you tell me that we recognize the problem, such as the case that you said before, where we found out that there was a suffix or a luck, or yes, that's fine. But if you have any of these additional problems, that's not fine. That's all that I'm saying. In other words, don't think an almanat isa is any case where you can't pinpoint what the problem is because you have multiple sages. That's not true. And Amanat Yisrael is where you know what the problem is. This was the problem. But where you have a case of someone that is rumored to not be properly meyuchas, and indeed when he is called in an argument, he's called a mamzer, or he's called a cholo, and he responds differently to those terms. So then, indeed, you would have a problem that you cannot rely on in terms of the Amanat Isa. That's what I'm saying. So if you don't have shtok mamzerut, and I'm talking about these cases, I don't mean mamzerut as opposed to halal. I mean, I have to sit here and list every single shtok that's possible. All I'm saying is, look, if the guy does not respond to being called pasul on any level, I don't care what it is, mamzer, nistin, abde malachim, halal, it's all the same to me. That is not included in the heter of Amanat Yisrael that Rabbi Yeshua was talking about. We need to know what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a straight out suffix, suffix korav law, with additional problems of timua in the family, or of I don't know whose child he is, whether he's been teishal or rishon, or he's been shivel achro, whatever the case is. If I could trace the issue, then Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, let's trace it. We don't know what was happening. We got a sveik sveika. We can rely on that. We can go with that. She can get married to Cohen. But if you cannot trace it, and all that's happening is that this guy seems to very suspiciously accept the fact that he is actually a halal, or he is actually a mamzer, and he reacts differently to various psulim, then there is something very suspicious. And therefore, the rumors about the problems of his yichus are supported by his own response. Because of that, we can't say that we should go ahead and say that the woman is if he sleeps with her, is mutera to a kohen, because he himself is indicating that he knows that something's wrong with him. So that's all that I'm saying. I'm not giving an explanation of the above case of Amanat Yisrael. Now we know what the case is, whatever. Rashi's approach, Tosfos' approach, Timua, suffix of whose child it is, and so on. By the way, there is one additional pshat that Rashi brings on his own. The pshat that I told you, he brings from Rabbi Yosef Tobilan. The pshat that he wants to say is that it's because of the multiple chazokas that we're talking about. Because since the problem was in the mother, and now the child is born from that mother, and he marries somebody else, So it's not a direct question about the mother. It's a question about what happened from the suffix of the mother as it affects a child, who in turn affects somebody else. Therefore, it's called Isa. And that obviously leads to a lot of problems. And you can see why I would take Rashi's second. Okay, it just complicates things in terms of why would that be Sveik's favor? Why would we do it as a Sveik's favor? Why can't we define the initial suffix? Okay, but in any event, getting back to you. So that was what the Tanakhama said. Now came along the original version of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir that first argued directly with the Tanakhama. Okay? And he disagrees. And he says like this. Come on, Rabbi Meir. Look. Hanachu dekapasel le kahal. Avo shituk halal kasher. I agree with you that if he does not respond to being called a mamzer, and he does respond to being called an atin, again, this is the Ritva's Kratos, he doesn't learn like this. He learns each one stands on its own. But if he does not respond to a serious charge of a begam and yifus that will possible him from the kahal, so then you're right. We've got problems with this guy's yifus. By the way, you should just know that the Ravid speaks out, the Rishonim as well, that there is not a need to respond to somebody calling you a mamzer. Even the way Tosus is learning, where he's not contrasting the response of mamzer to the response of cholol or nisin, he says that this is only true, that we can see significance in the response of a person to being called by some type of insulting term, is where Bezdin would respond to a suit that's based on him. The din was, there was a straight out set Knosses that would, or Malkios that would be given to somebody who calls you a mamzer, you go into court and there's an immediate judgment against the guy. So in those terms, then he should have responded. That's all that Tosis meant, even though there's no contract. But nowadays, as the Ramban points out, the person who is more quiet is more meyupis. It's the people that argue who are more likely to be mamzerim. That's Azus. They can never shut up. They always have something to say. Always have to have the last word. That's part of Azus. Somebody who knows how to be quiet is a grayer that he does have a better yifus. Furthermore, as Tosfos himself points out in Amud Aleph, this whole thing is only where you're in the midst of an argument. If Lamaisa, you have a serious discussion with the guy, and you say, look, is it true that there was problems with your yifus, that you're really a mamzer, and he doesn't say anything, then Enoch Hinami, then you, of course, would have a problem. Because, I mean, it's differently. He's not responding. He's talking about a serious question where somebody wants to know whether he's okay to talk about shidduch, and he's not responding. Then there's obviously a problem. Okay. So now, getting back to our case. It comes along Rabbi Meir, and he says, look, I agree with you if there's no response to being called a mamzer or a messin, avde shlomo, whatever. That is definitely serious, especially, as Rashi learns, where it's contrasted with your response to other insults. But Cholol, a guy who does not respond to being called a cholol, even though he does respond to being called a mamzer, I don't think that proves anything. Because actually, a shtuk cholol is kosher. V'hada ishti, the reason that he's being quiet is because he simply doesn't care. Mishum deloich batle. Come on, you cholol, come on. I mean, we know, a mamzer, everybody thinks a mamzer is a horrible thing, but a cholol, it's just not no geya. I'm going to sit here and argue with somebody whether he calls me a cholol or not. So I don't respond to that type of thing. So therefore, Rabbi Meir is saying, I heard that only someone that has a shtuk to one of the above listed, not like you, who think that that's a list that is just examples, but anything else is included. No! It's only the ones that you listed, but cholo would not be included. So there's right away a machlokus between the Tanakhama and the first version about Rabbi Meir as to how specific the list is. You say these end, and I say no, these. Nothing else. So cholol is not included because people don't necessarily respond to something like that. Come along now, Reb Shimon ben Elazar and Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, and they say, you got it all wrong. They say to the Tanakhama of Rabbi Meir, not, this doesn't mean the Tanakhama that argued on Rabbi Meir, the first version of Rabbi Meir, in other words, the first Tana that was quoting Rabbi Meir. And they said, no, you're wrong. Yishmielecha the mikhsha Rabbi Meir mishtika. Look, you may have heard that Rabbi Meir paskins in a particular case that there is a shtika that doesn't pass. But it's not the way you think. You think that it means that we call a guy a cholol and he's quiet. No. Lo de korele cholol v'shatik. It's just the opposite. It's the korele mamzer v'shatik. The reason that, according to Rabbi Meir, is saying like this, if they call him a mamzer and he's quiet, it's because he doesn't take it seriously. Because he figures, haide shatik, so a mamzer kola itle. That's what I'm telling you. Yisrael is makir the mamzerin shemini. And therefore, you call somebody a mamzer. What are you, an idiot? Who's going to take you seriously? You're right, I'm a mamzer. Okay, right, I'm a mamzer. Very nice. So nobody really thinks that this is going to create problems, and people know about mamzer. You know, all of a sudden call somebody a mamzer, people are going to take it seriously. However, in a case where you've got somebody who does respond to mamzerut, again, this is the way Rashi is talking. Avo mamzer v'tzoveach, chalal v'shotek. If, however, he's quiet when it comes to the chalalut, that's possible. Because let me tell you something. The reason that he's being quiet is not because he figures, okay, what's the big deal? It's just the opposite. He's being quiet because he's afraid to cause anybody to research the issue. Like this, he figures, you know what? Nobody really knows. Because people aren't makir chalalut, right? So if I'm quiet, no damage is going to happen. But if I start complaining and the guy starts, well, what do you mean? I heard you were a chalal because of X, Y, and Z. So then he figures, okay, now they're going to go and they're going to find out. He'd prefer that they shouldn't find out. Obviously, it's more to die for him to shut up than it would be to complain. So hayde ishtik sava mistayeh adalo mafkele mekahal. Look, I should be happy that they haven't thrown me out. Now, again, what is that supposed to mean? I should be happy they haven't thrown me out. Tosus says this. I don't understand. Why are we saying those words? We just said that we're going to go ahead now. The mamzer, the reason that he would shotake, we don't passel him, is because he doesn't take it seriously. But the halal, he does take seriously. That's it. That's the answer. I understand. Well, why did we throw in this additional piece? This is completely irrelevant. You yourself just said the only reason that by mamzerut we were viewing what he was saying as not a hoda'ah, but rather simply ignoring what you're saying, is because there's a reason to ignore it, since he figures no one will take it seriously. But you said chalalut that people do not know. He's worried that people will take it seriously. So then why do you need now the extra reasoning over here? It doesn't make any sense. It was enough what you said. Therefore, Tosfos comes up with a pshat, which he says that it's never sufficient for us to say that the guy's silence is proof of hodah. It's never hodah. Nobody was all hodah. There's always an underlying reason that we're going to have to figure out as to why it's worthwhile not responding. What it means over here is not mistaya, it's good enough that they're not throwing me out of the kal. He's saying it's good enough that they're not throwing me out of the kal, is the pshat. So in other words, the point is that he prefers to be called names, but not that people should actually know anything about it, because people won't pay attention to it since they're not bekiyam in it. However, he's figuring, if I do complain, they will find out about it. So where we have good grounds that his being quiet is an indication, not of hodah, but an indication of his hiding a guilty secret. So then, it's not because of hodah, it's because of the riot to the secret. That's the point. Tosfos claims that that's how Rashi understands it as well. And that's been, not everybody agrees that that's what Rashi means. But, again, we can go with that. It's never a question of simple hodah. It's just a question of a person attempting to hide the facts. That's the thing. So, which is a nice way of learning. We're going to say, shtika ka hodah, because somebody calls me a mamzer, and I'm chasing somebody to kill a mamzer. So, therefore, we end up now with a very clear understanding. Tanakama is saying, any shituk, when it's compared to a person who will complain about other things, is an indication that there is a problem in this thing. And that therefore, we're not going to be matir, a suffix that we know nothing about, in which there are rumored problems and we can't say, is it a fake? We don't know. So if the guy is indicating to us that there really is a problem, we can't simply be matir the way Rabbi Yeshua wanted to be made, there will be matir amonazisa. So sometimes an undefined, an indefinite, the contours of the sfeikas here remain undefined to us. We cannot apply the halachas of how it is that we're supposed to deal with it. And that he wasn't coming to be matir, surprisingly. In other words, you would think that something that remains vague would have less of a chiyav halacha. The truth is that the more defined an issue is, the more capable we are of actually, in recognizing its contours, we can actually figure out where it's effective to cause a problem, where it isn't. Something like this is just too broad, and the fact that the person is not challenging it leads us to think, who knows, we may be dealing with something that's really out in the open, not even something and so on. So we can't be matir. That's the Tanakama. And I don't care what it is. So if he's being called a cholo, and he's not complaining about being called a cholo, so then we've got a problem with the guy. We can't call that the case of Aramanatisa. However, comes along Rabbi Meir, and he says, no, a cholol, that's not really that valuable. He doesn't care about the issue of kalalut. What's it nogea really, this man? I mean, it's calling the guy a cholol. So, okay, he doesn't complain. Mashenken, it would be the cases that you listed, the fairish, the mamzer, would the tinut and the avdei shlomo? Yes, that's a problem, avdei
melach. She married a cholol once, and she divorced him.
She can never marry a cholol.
She can never marry a cholol.
This is the case when avdei melach, him, we call a mamzer in like nowadays, where it's just...
It's Eved. It's Shaila, but it is Eved, but it certainly would pass on her because it's not Nisuin. It's a Zara.
For a
coin. Yeah. Fine. Comes along now the other Shita in Rebbe Meir and says it's the exact opposite. It's not that Cholo you don't care about. It's that Mamzer you don't care about. And the reason you don't care about Mamzerut is because you think that it's something of a joke. Because people don't look at Mamzerut unless there are good grounds for Mamzerut and nobody knows him to be a Mamzer. But when it comes to Chalalut, if he doesn't respond, then it may well be that he's hiding things that we don't know about, and he's afraid if we look at it with a magnifying glass, then we won't know about it. So what Rabbi Meir said was the opposite. Rabbi Meir said that Chalalut, that would be serious, but the other things is not serious, not the way you quoted Rabbi Meir.
I'm sure she was
yeah, but I understand people call people Mamzerim all the time. What's a big Mamzer? No, that's so what? Well, okay, so that's what he said. Again, as Tosa said, it was a serious question. Listen, I'd like to talk your Shidduch if people are saying you're a Mamzer. I mean, obviously, that's a different question. Okay, so now we have two different approaches in Rebbe Meir. Now, we have Bryces, interestingly enough. Tani Chada, that contradict each other. One Bryce says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shtuk Mamzer is kosher, and Shtuk Cholol is pasul. Whereas Tanya Idach, the other Braisa says, the Shtuk Cholol is kosher, and the Shtuk Mamzer is pasul. But now we know, it's not a problem at all, lo kasha. Ha Tanakama, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. The Tanakama, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, indeed says that Shtuk Cholol is kosher. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, they say actually, the Shtuk Cholol is what's pasul, and the Shtuk Mamzer is what's kosher. So these two braises are the two approaches in Rebbe Meir, and everything is rather straightforward. Well, that was simple enough.